That better?
Yeah, good. Thanks.
In any event, the other day when we were in here, we were talking about, I forget what we're talking about now, but one of the judges was talking about that we needed to get indigency, I think. Maybe I forget, Judge, you're the one that brought it up. That we need to get certain agencies to go out into the community and to let people know what we do and talk about traffic safety. And I forget the subject we were talking about right now. But in any event, the point of that is, in your book, I'm on the board of the Texas Municipal Courts Association, and in there, there's a Speakers Bureau application. And you can send that in, and if there are requests for speakers in your area, we're trying to channel you as judges to go to talk to schools, to civic groups, to anybody about what you do and the importance of what we do. Okay, so we can be the people who actually help with that effort of outreaching to the public and letting them know what we're doing. The other thing is that there's an application or a letter from the president of this association, Ed Spillane, on joining forces with your fellow municipal court judges with Texas Municipal Courts Association. And why is that important? Not only do you get the camaraderie of your fellow judges, but you get to share their experience and knowledge. And in 2009, the last legislative session, it was the fact that we had an organization that was led by people like Robin Smith, Judge Ramsey, and many others, and we could tell the legislatures that we represent a large group, not only our membership, but a large group of municipal judges in this state who deserve to be recognized and to have the authority to do weddings. So I invite you to consider joining your voice with us, and particularly timely because the legislative session is coming back. So I really would encourage you to do that. When you're talking about doing weddings, and let me give you a little history and why I'm here. You know, the other day on the video, and I do remember this, you remember the guy named Bill? Well, the effort that I just told you about of our association with many people has been a 30-year effort. It's been 30 years where this association has tried to get the right for municipal judges to do weddings. And it was only in the last legislative session that we were added to the list of people who can do weddings in the state of Texas. Okay? Why am I here? Because there's not many of you that have done weddings because it's new legislation and you probably haven't been requested. But El Paso, being legislatively unique as it seems to always be, in 1985 when we passed our court of record statute, somehow or another we were able to get a provision in there that El Paso judges could do weddings in the city of El Paso. And there's a number of judges here from El Paso, including myself, who have been able to and have been doing weddings since 1985. So I'm kind of the experimental rabbit, I think, in that respect. And they chose me to talk to you, not because of any sense of expertise on my part, but that hopefully what I have to say you can learn from my mistakes as having gone through the briar patch. When you, if you haven't already, you need to get involved and look at the family code on the marriage relationship, okay? And we'll cover this in some detail in a little while, but you need to familiarize yourself with that because that is what tells you you have to do in regard to a marriage. And the phone's going to ring someday soon, and somebody's going to ask you if you can do a wedding, you know. Gosh, I heard the good news. You're now able to do weddings, and will you do my wedding, and hope it doesn't violate any laws of the state of Texas in terms of incest or marrying your first cousin. But so you need to familiarize yourself with chapter 2 that talks about what you have to do in terms of getting married. Because most people will call you as a judge and they want to know, what do I have to do? Now, there's a whole list of things in there that you need to consider, but I will tell you that what I normally tell them is you need to get a marriage license, okay? And chapter 2 talks about getting a marriage license. And you get a marriage license from the county clerk, all right? So what I tell them to do is they need to go and apply for a marriage license at the county clerk's office. And there's the application has all kind of information, which I don't want to cover, but I want to tell you that you, in your own area, should probably go to your county clerk's office and kind of get educated and look at the law, but also look at the application as to the questions that they ask in there. It is not your job to issue the marriage license, and it's not your job to ensure that the people who filled out the application have done it correctly. That's the clerk's job. So if they file the application, the clerk then issues the license, which is, in my opinion, my badge of authority to conduct the marriage. Okay? They produce a marriage license to me. I really don't look behind that marriage license to determine if what they've told the clerk in the application. I'm doing something that I don't like to do, and that's lecturing to you. So let me tell you what. If you have any questions as we go along, feel free to ask me. We'll address them now or later. Because I just soon, we're an intimate group. This is the smallest group I've made this presentation to. So if you have something that comes up, let me know, okay? There's, in terms of this whole process here, that's section 2.02, the person's authorized to conduct the wedding ceremony. And up until September 1st, 2009, municipal judges weren't among that list. We are now. JPs have been there forever, and nearly every, well, just about every other judge, district court judges, county court judges, etc., have always been authorized to do weddings. You know, only Ryan Turner, our general counsel, could have taken the marriage, doing marriages, and turn it into an ethics program. And I don't know if y'all are old enough to know about castor oil. But when I was a young man, if I got feeling bad, I got a dose of castor oil. And that's what ethics has always been to me, that every time, you know, somebody mentions ethics, that you just kind of turn off in terms of that. So before you're going to do weddings, I think we need to consider some of the things that impact you ethically, all right? And to do that, we need to talk about the Texas Code of Judicial Conduct. Okay? That, I know y'all are intimately familiar with all these provisions, and I don't want to read them all to you, but I probably will end up doing some of it. But when I think of ethics, and I've heard it described better than I can, is, you know, ethics is doing the right thing. And the right thing has, you know, legal parameters of what's right. And then it has kind of a moral element to it as to what should be done. So I think I've heard it said, you know, does it smell wrong or does it smell right? Does it feel right, you know? And then is it, as the Code of Judicial Conduct says, it covers all the conduct of judges to maintain high standards of judicial and personal conduct. So it's a little broader than just the legal requirements, okay? Now, the purpose of this presentation, there's a lot of probably ethical issues that have to be addressed, and I'm going to mention some in a test format for you. But the point is, I think what you want to do when you leave this presentation, in terms, just be aware that some of these issues are things that might confront you from an ethical standpoint. For instance, judges, can you use your courtroom? And in each of your cities, you may need to talk to the powers that be to see whether or not your court facilities are available for conducting weddings. Okay? Now, the biggest wedding chapels in the state of Texas are courthouses. I mean, more weddings go down in the courthouse. And I was trying a criminal case in district court in the middle of the jury trial, and right before I was about to blister this guy on cross, I was sure, the judge interrupted the proceedings and brought in a couple, and they did the wedding ceremony. You got to be real careful about that kind of thing. And do you interrupt your primary responsibilities, your primary responsibilities of a judge and administration of justice with those kind of interruptions, okay? So you need to check with your city. Many cities have ethics ordinances that may apply to you, so you want to kind of check on those and see if you know what the contents of those are and to try and comply with them. Great power comes great responsibility. And clearly, I think, if nothing else, during this seminar and the things that you do every day, you really realize, even at the lower level of the judicial order, that we do possess great power. The second canon says that you should avoid the appearance of impropriety that in a manner that promotes public confidence and integrity and impartiality in the judiciary. These are judicial functions that you want to be sure that you try to walk the straight and narrow with in terms of wedding. And I think the examples that I kind of just gave you there, address that. Let's see here. All right, this is out of order. This is on Canon 2, and this is actually what we're going to be talking about on Chapter 2 of the Family Code. So that's out of order. So let me see if I can get by that, and if I can ever find it again. A judge shall not allow any relation. You all are familiar with this. These are the things that you do as a judge, where you don't let other people influence your decision. You're fair and impartial and independent, okay? So it's important to maintain that. Or, shall a judge convey or permit others to convey the impression that they are in a special position to influence a judge? I'm not sure. You all can think of this better than I can, but, somebody appears before you and says, judge, don't you remember you did my wedding last week? Huh? Or you're booking a wedding and sure enough, somebody's got a citation or I'll be in your court right after the wedding, judge, on that no insurance case and I'm trying to get my insurance. Those are things that you have to kind of be aware of and consider in terms of what you're doing. And this is where I was a minute ago. This is real clear. They take your judicial duties take precedence over doing weddings, okay? Or whatever other ceremonial thing. So you want to do those first. You want to be sure that you administer justice, you handle your docket, then you determine how you might want to do a wedding. And whether it's in your courtroom or whether it's in your chambers, okay? This is true whether you're on the bench or standing in front of a crowd at the wedding ceremony who have upset you in some way. We'll talk about doing weddings here in a minute. There's a lot of things we're going to talk about in terms of bias or prejudice based on race, sex, religion, national origin that are specific to you all here in a minute, hopefully, in chapter 2 when we get back to it. These are extrajudicial activities. And I think this is where they fall in doing weddings. You're not adjudicating cases. You're not hearing evidence. But in weddings, you don't want to have anything that you're doing in regard to performing a wedding for people that cast any doubt as to your function as a judge, and or that interferes with the proper performance of your judicial duties. Now, I really kind of like this one because it is the law and the code of judicial conduct's blessing that you can be paid for your services doing weddings. When this kind of first came up and I was talking to judges, I heard a number, I'm not going to charge for weddings. I'm going to do it as a public service. And I think by the time I get through here today, you might realize that if you're doing it as a public service, you're not going to be doing weddings very long. I mean, there are some aggravating circumstances and frustrating circumstances that you'd like to be paid for your services, okay? And this gives the blessing that you can charge reasonable compensation and expenses for doing weddings. Let me tell you, when you go to a wedding, whether it's small or big, nearly everybody that's involved in the planning of that wedding, from the caterer to everybody else, has received some compensation, and you're entitled to compensation. Clearly not unethical. It goes on to say, though, what did I do? Go backwards? Maybe I did. Maybe I went too quick. Here's where I was trying to get to. The compensation shall not exceed a reasonable amount, nor shall it exceed what a person who is not a judge would receive for the same activity. Well, that standard is, you need to maybe check around. Check around your community and kind of see what the going rate is, So you can charge, but it has to be reasonable. And the standard of that is kind of what is the market out there, all right? And does it fluctuate? When we talk about doing weddings as to when you do them and where you do them, you need to be aware of, what that might entail. Some weddings are more involved than others. You have to go further, that type of thing, okay? So you're entitled under the canons to do that. I'm going to go back, if I can, real quick, if I don't lose track here. All right, so those are the canons. Doing the right thing. And being aware that what your conduct does is subject to judicial review by the Conduct Commission, okay? All right, this should be chapter 2, all right? Here's chapter 2 says that you can get married in Texas, but only a man and a woman can get married, all right? So I want to give you a case that I really want you to read. You'll find it most entertaining. And it is, you don't need the style of it, but it's 9 Southwest 3rd, 223. I'm going to give you a test on this one. This is done. This was actually a wrongful death case. And so those of you who practice personal injury, one of the beneficiaries under a wrongful death case is a surviving spouse, okay? So this case involved, I'm going to use different names here to protect the innocent, maybe. Anyway, George became Georgina and married whoever, and then he died, and Georgina now, who was a man at birth and who had gone through incredible and interesting surgical procedures to change her sexual identity to a woman, became a woman, okay? So the court says this. There's great language in the thing. But this case involves the most basic of questions. When is a man a man? And when is a woman a woman? Every school child, even of tender years, is confident he or she can tell the difference, especially if the person is wearing no clothes. These are observations that each of us make every day, early in life, and in most cases continue to have more than a passing interest in for the rest of our lives. It is one of the more pleasant mysteries. Okay? So George, born a man, became a woman through surgical procedures and marries, and now is filing a suit as a spouse. Chapter 2 of the Family Code said that a marriage in Texas can only be between a man and a woman. Who thinks the marriage was legal? That is, between a man and now a woman. Raise your hand. There's no grading. You can't pass or fail. And let me tell you, you got a 50-50 shot at this one. Huh? You got a 50-50 shot at this one. And what's the reverse of that question? Who thinks that the marriage was invalid because it violated this provision? Okay? And there's a lot of you like me, like I was really uncertain. Yes, sir. Well, that's the issue. Georgina married a man. She married a man. Yeah, but Georgina was a man when she was born. Okay, we got the facts? Yeah, thanks. All right. The court holds the marriage is invalid. That despite the fact that she went through these grueling surgical procedures and identified as a woman, she was a man by birth. An unbelievable case, but very interesting case to read. So in Texas, you know the thing that I'm thinking about, you know, you're standing at the altar and they're playing the music and you're about ready to pronounce, you know, do your deal. And the groom looks over and says, doesn't Georgina look good? You know, her name used to be George, and starts giving you this history. And so, you know, what do you do now? Will that happen to you? Probably not, but it might. It might happen. Minors under 18 can get married. They need parental consent. There are provisions in there that if they can't get parental consent, they can get an order. Why these have become important is if you marry a minor knowingly that hadn't got parental consent, it's a criminal offense for you under the family code. My recollection is it's a third degree felony. So if you're up there about to do the wedding and the guy says, yeah, I'm 16 and I'm real excited about getting married, and makes you aware that you're about to marry a minor, you know, what do you do? Not sure I know the answer to that. I probably wouldn't be doing any weddings right then. I'd be trying to clarify matters because you have a criminal liability for doing that wedding. Yes, sir? They do. And you remember when I told you earlier that when I got the license, I'm going to proceed with the wedding? Now, if they lied about their age or they lie about information on the app, that's a criminal offense for them for providing false information. And I think the fine for that's $200 to $500 for them. Okay, or maybe I'm afraid it's slipping my mind right now. It may be a Class A misdemeanor, but it's a criminal offense. So they commit a criminal offense if they lie on the app. You've got the license, and I'm proceeding with a wedding. And I guess what I'm doing is playing tricks on you to the extent that if you become aware of information that tells you that what's on the app was false, puts you in an awkward position, to say the least. You know, you're not looking behind the license, but, you know, if you're marrying somebody that later on they say, well, I was a minor and I told a judge that, you know, where do you go? But that's a good question, David. Yeah. Anybody else in regard to that? So, I've just disconnected myself here, didn't I? All right. So you tell them to go get their license, and they go get a license. And what I generally do when I talk to them, I say, well, when are you getting married? Because the license is valid. You can only get a license. It's good for 31 days. So I call it the 3 and 30 rule. They got to get it before 30 days of the wedding, but not less than 3 days. There's kind of a cooling off period, okay? Now, to get it. So I tell them, you got to go to the county clerk, get a license, your wedding such and such a date, try to get it within that window. There is a provision in chapter 2 for a waiver. But interesting enough, we can't give them a waiver. And by the way, there's some, Judge, you know, if they're in the military and there's some other exceptions, you don't, that rule doesn't apply to you if you're in the military. And some other ones, I don't remember them all now. But anyway, if they're not within one of those exceptions, they have to get the waiver. They can only get the waiver from a judge who handles family law cases, court of criminal appeals, court of appeals. I can see you go to the Supreme Court to get one. But one of the things is, if I encourage them to get their license where they're not confronted with that waiver. Because what I think happens is if they go get the waiver, they go over to the court and the district judge gives them the waiver, it's not unlikely that they'll walk right back into chambers and get married right then and there, okay? So if you're interested in maintaining that relationship in order to do their wedding, I always encourage them to be aware of that time frame. So the next step in there is, I already think I talked to you about, after the wedding ceremony, you have the obligation to return. Yes, sir. It's 72 hours, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess you'd have to calculate that, yeah. But if they haven't got it and they've got to have it, you know, you send them over to one of the district judges or family law court judges over there, and here's it. You know, I was going to mention this because there have been a couple of questions. A lot of you are associate judges. And at first, there was some question in the center's opinion, if you're an associate judge, can you do weddings? And they've concluded, and I think it's appropriate, that if you're an associate judge, you are a judge. If you're signing orders, you can sign a judgment in your court. Generally, you're a judge, and you're eligible to do weddings as an associate. Probably the same associates are doing magistrate's duties, you know? And it's not that you're sitting for a particular judge when you do those magistrate's duties. So I think the same analogy applies. After the wedding, you got 30 days to return the license to the clerk. And if you don't do that, it's also a criminal offense, okay? So when we're talking about ethics, clearly we said you got to comply with the law, and so you want to be real aware of each of those particular circumstances, and I think that may be a fine also of $200 to $500, but it's a criminal offense. So if you don't, and it does say that the person performing the marriage is to return the license. Can you do it by mail? Probably. If you're, you know, I don't know, some of your smaller places, you're not at the county seat. Without making an admission, sometimes they're going to Mexico and they need a passport or they need something really quick. And it used to be if you send your license down, it was 4 weeks or so before you got it back. So I'd send them down the next day where they got it and they'd get a certified copy of it. Or now they microfilm it or whatever they do and they get it back real quick. So, some of the things that we talked about in ethics are some of the things I talked about. Using your courtroom facilities to conduct weddings. Here's one that I remember when I talked to some of the clerks, when the judges, they were real upset that the judge was making the clerk schedule the weddings, collect the money. The money's not the city's. They're having their clerks do things that they probably should be doing. Is that ethical or unethical? It's questionable, and your clerks are not going to like it. Ryan Turner told me about one situation where some lady had a flower shop, and she was a judge. And so her deal was, you know, let me do the wedding, and come buy flowers from me. And so she linked her wedding activities as a judge with her commercial involvement with a flower shop. You know, that's the kind of thing you want to be really, really careful about. One of the scenarios that I have used before on ethics is, you know, when this all came around, everybody kind of thought, well, boy, this is going to be great. We're all going to get rich, I guess, or some of us thought we were going to get rich. By the same token, this one judge decided, boy, this is a bird nest on the ground. This is fictitious, by the way. And so he gets a, you know, he gets a pamphlet. And his pamphlet says, you know, not only doing justice, but now I can do weddings. And he puts it on his bench, you know. So after your speeding ticket, and particularly if it's not guilty, I guess he gives you a pamphlet. So what I'm saying is that kind of advertising, that kind of solicitation in the courtroom or otherwise is clearly, you know, not maintaining the integrity of the judiciary, et cetera. Yes, sir. I do not remember that. No. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that, I'm going to remember that just like I asked the judge to tell you those stories. That, the thing was that some district judge who's authorized to do weddings, you know, he gets a sandwich board and goes walking around the courthouse. Let me tell you, there is a competitive nature in the courthouse and not unheard of that judges have their bailiffs go down to the clerk's office and kind of watch the activity, or if they walk in with a wedding dress on, you know, to track them down. Yes, sir, David. Over weddings, yeah. Yeah, well, by the same token, that's why I said, does it still go on? Well, I would think it would be, just like this. Yeah, I think hustling, and I think, as I recall, David, you remember better than I do, they got into some trouble over that circumstance where they were competing for business rather than, you know, our county clerk has a list of people. They don't put our municipal judges on there, by the way. So anyway, the other thing that we're talking about chapter 2, there's a provision that you cannot discriminate against people on the basis of race, religion, or national origin. Interesting enough, not on sex. So there's no sexual, first of all, it's man and woman, so there's no sexual preference discrimination. So sure enough, before I did the Austin deal back in, I guess, October or November, sure enough, y'all remember that guy in Louisiana? He was a JP, and he was asked to do a mixed racial wedding, and he decided for some reason that he didn't think that was a good idea, and he got in all kind of trouble. He was in national news, even under Louisiana, which is maybe not as progressive as we are, he eventually was facing disciplinary actions. And in Texas, it says if you discriminate on the basis of race, religion, or national origin, you can be removed from office. The Judicial Conduct Commission can remove you from office, okay? So now if you harbor any of those things, I'll tell you that it's not unusual. You get the phone call, judge, if we got the license, and you come see me Saturday evening, we're going to be at the park, 6:30, come do the wedding. And you show up and you see something that is offensive to you personally, and you don't perform that marriage because of it's either mixed race or mixed religion. I've done some weddings where it's a Jewish and Gentile, and a rabbi won't do that wedding, I understand. So if you discriminate on the basis of not doing that wedding, now do you have to do the wedding? No. But in many instances, they show up at your court. Clerk says, hey, we got a couple out here who wants to get married, judge. You go, whoa, yeah. That's what all those guys were working so hard for. But anyway, this guy in Louisiana finally, I think, resigned in lieu of discipline. All right, I think I got to catch up here. All right, that's the real tedious stuff, and I'm hoping I wasn't all that tedious, but it just is, okay? But do. Familiarize yourself with chapter 2 of the family code, and you can fill in some of the blanks I've left for you, okay? Where can I perform weddings? In the state of Texas, clearly. Here on the border, kind of an interesting thing. I don't know the other judges have done this, but it's not unusual. You get a call, do a bridge wedding. I don't know if y'all are anywhere else by bridge weddings. I don't even know if those are, I don't know the deal on those. Maybe you do, Judge. I mean, there's some immigration issues in that kind of thing because they were trying, you know, if it's a sham marriage for immigration purposes, and that's to get somebody in the United States. I had a lady call me the other day, wanted me to go to the jail and marry, do a wedding in the jail because her fiancé was about to get deported, you know. And then I don't touch them. I don't understand them. I don't know if there's anything illegal about them, but got to be careful about that. Here in Texas, where we're at, by the way, as a native El Paso, and I welcome you to El Paso, out on the corner, we're right there by New Mexico. And you may be over on Louisiana side or somewhere where you're close to the border. You know, the best thing you can do is do the wedding in Texas. That's where you need to do it. That's where it's going to be legal, okay? Sometimes you can talk to the people if they want to do a wedding in a different state. You do a kind of, I do kind of pro forma wedding in Texas, you know, and do the ceremonial part of it at a different location. But that determination is that they're married in Texas, and hopefully you're staying. I don't know if you all have that kind of problem unless you're in that kind of locale. All right. This is what makes you decide whether you really want to do this stuff or not and whether you want to risk going to jail. You get the call. Where you want to know time, date, and place. And those sound really, really easy until you don't realize that there's more to it than that, okay? Well, will you do my wedding? I had one the very first. Do my wedding on Trans Mountain Road. It's a beautiful area here in El Paso. And so of course, I think it's beautiful up there. I go up there, and the little bride said, we want to do it up up there. I mean, it was at the top of a mountain. That's where she wanted to do her wedding. And I hadn't asked, but I got halfway up. I was doing my best. I got halfway up, and I said, honey, if you want to get married, you better turn around right here, and we'll do it, because I ain't making it up there, you know. So you got to be kind of careful, but this is a great one here. You know, so when they say where you're going to do it, find out where it's going to be. Interesting about this picture, you see how close they are to the precipice? Well, the judge generally stands on that side of them. So he's really in danger, right? So you need to be kind of aware of that. There's a great one. They want you to marry them while they're bungee jumping. And you got to be on a rope somewhere next to them, okay, to do it. This isn't celebrating the marriage. This is doing it. Hot air balloons. You know, you see on TV. I mean, they want to get married in a shark cage, or you need to know that. Now, as a practical matter, you also need to know if you're in Houston, they want you to do a wedding for them. You know, it may take you longer to get the other side of Houston than it's worth to you, or you have to factor in what your time might be in terms of doing that. I just talked to Judge King. He's done weddings here. He's a JP and a great one here in El Paso, but he's done weddings forever and longer than we have. And he said, you have a wedding on a Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, about noon. You know, you better get off the golf course and go get cleaned up. Go drive to wherever you're going. Yes? I'm sorry? A boat in the Gulf as a place to get married? Yeah, I guess if you're in the territorial limits, you'd be in the state of Texas, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, you gotta be kind of aware, you know, unless you want to get up in that thing and be doing a wedding and it might hit a high wire, you know. Let's see, here's one here. So This is another part of this program. A lot of times people ask in terms of the marriage vows, okay? In this cartoon, sometimes they'll want to write their own, okay? And you probably can't see this, but it says, the preacher says, "And now, having each recited the vows that they have written themselves, we all realize the importance of education." Yes, ma'am. There's no dumb questions. You know what? Some judges do that. I don't. They never could find one big enough for me. But, you know, it'd be appropriate. It'd be appropriate. You're a judge. And I've seen a lot of our local judges, because obviously in the courtroom they've got a robe on, but they attend. But I just wear a coat, and that's because that's all I got. And they won't. My budget doesn't cover a robe. This may be as good a place to talk about it. Yes, sir. Well, now that's a great. This judge, Judge King, who's very experienced, he asked him, "You want me to wear my robe?" Yeah. You know, for God's sakes, you know, you're not doing an Elvis wedding or something, and you know, they want you to wear a costume or a clown deal, you know. I mean, you were talking about judicial integrity and, you know. Charge. Oh, no, yeah, no. Let me tell you, you know, one of the questions I normally ask and is, you know, a lot of you haven't done weddings. How many think they're never going to do a wedding? Or not don't want to do it? You don't think so. Well, let me tell you what happens. Yeah, this judge right here, that's exactly why he got called. He had a friend or a family member calls and said, just what I said earlier, "Judge, boy, we're so glad you can do the weddings. We want you to do the wedding." And all of a sudden, he said, "What did Holmes say about that?" You can say no. Okay, I did my niece's. She was like my daughter to me. I took her up the aisle, and then I turned around and did the wedding. I'm about to do my daughter's wedding, and I'm honored that they request. Now, whether I can do it emotionally or not, I don't know, but I'll find out. You know? No. You don't have to charge. I'm just saying, though, some people are telling me, well, you charge, it's like commercialism, and it's nasty stuff. I don't think that's true. You're doing your best work. In fact, let me tell you, you're the star of the show. You're the star of the show. And that's what this has to do about wedding vows. David, I'm going to get to you real quick. Your wedding vows is an opportunity to say something that means a lot to you besides guilty and not guilty. You know, you're talking about love. You're talking about friendship. You're talking about commitment. And in your own way, that has to be important to you. They are the ones that are in there. And they're a product of both successful and unsuccessful love relationships. By the same token, those are mine. And you're welcome to use them. But I encourage you, if you're going to do these, think about your vows. And where you can get them, man, half of that's country western music. The Storms of Life is Randy Travis, okay? Cahill Gibran's in there, The Prophet, beautiful passage. So you plagiarize everything you can do, and then you talk about some stuff. Yeah, David? Well, you can do them. I told you earlier, the judge says, yeah, I think you can, sure. Yeah, for whatever reason, a military, you can reduce it. What do you think, Judge? Yeah, and in your precinct? Anywhere. You do them for free? Well, tell you, you're a public servant because, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the... When I did the webinar for the Texas Municipal Court deal early on, my deal was the fun and frustration of weddings. They're glorious times. People are happy. You're talking about love. It's a nice atmosphere. The frustrations of waiting around, not being on time, and having things happen that, you know, you're unaware of. Those cause you to think, and waiting, you know, get there an hour early. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Yes, ma'am. Doing what? Yeah, my daughters. Mm-hmm. And religious. Okay. And I'm so glad you're asking questions, because this is where I'm more comfortable. Let me tell you what. When they're calling you, they're wanting a civil ceremony generally. Okay? They're not calling you because they want you to pray for them or do a religious ceremony. And there's a slide on here somewhere. I don't know if it's here yet. Now, those are the vows. But let me talk about this right now because it's on point. Let me tell you, I've done that. I've done, for my friends, they had a church wedding, and I did a friendship wedding. So that's the same thing in the same facility, you know. And you can do that. You can do that. So they have a religious ceremony, and you can do what you do. Now, when I say they call you, you get this call. Hi, Judge Holmes. You can do weddings. What do your vows sound like? Normally, it's the little lady. She wants to hear if you're going to say obey. One of the scenarios I got is that speeding ticket is they're mad at you because you use the word obey. I mean, that is like you use obey in your vows. You better get clearance from the bride. I'm telling you anymore. I think I say to love, honor, trust, and to serve, and not obey. But anyway, I don't know where I went off the other end here. But if they call you and they want, I said, it's your wedding. I know what I'm going to do. It's going to take me about 5-10 minutes to do what I do. What do you want? What do you want? Well, do you want people to sing songs? I've had people get up and sing a song. I've had people get up and read Bible verses. I've had toast. It's their wedding. So if they want you to read something from the Bible, they tell you they want a prayer read, and they don't have someone else to read it, I'll do it. I have no objection to doing a religious ceremony, but I've seen a judge come in, bring him in the courtroom, and have him make the sign of the cross and genuflect. They may not even have been Catholics. I'm looking, going, what's going on here? You know? So, pardon me? Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. No, and we've got weddings where they want to get married. Well, Judge, you just marry us. We're getting married in the we're getting really married in the church next week. Well, you do. You can coordinate with them, but the question is, and I'm supposed to be reiterating, what about the vows if you're doing a joint ceremony? I'm doing my thing. He's doing his thing. So your thing is, what do you want to say to a couple, young or old? Love knows no boundaries, my dear. What do you want to say to them about what they're doing? It's from your heart. And if it's from your heart, it's sincere and it's meaningful. So that's, I tell you. But yeah, he says his and he reads. God, there's some beautiful passages in the Bible on love and marriage. They're gorgeous, you know. So he does that. And then maybe you want to talk about commitment and friendship and what they want out of that relationship. And where do you get them? Where can I find them? If if a song means a lot to you, God, let them do the hard work in expressing love. Songs, poems, movies, internet. God, they're all over the internet, both funny ones and bad ones, I guess. All right? But you do that wedding. You do that wedding, okay? Now, on the marriage license, wherever it's issued, after you do the ceremony, it says you united them in marriage. And in this one that's in your book, it has a date. Ours in El Paso doesn't have it. Somebody says, well, what time do I put in there? Well, whatever time, okay, that you think you're doing the wedding. But you sign that, and that's what you return, the license, to your clerk. Within 30 days, or you've stumbled upon marriage license, is a 72-hour waiver maybe endorsed on the other thing. Date, time, and place, I've already covered a lot of that. Let me talk about time real quick. Well, let me talk about date. I'll put them in order. You get a call. Judge, can you do my wedding? When do you want it done? December 31st at midnight. Okay? you know, your daughter's graduation from college date. You need to be aware of what date it is. You know, May 29th, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good day for me. Then all of a sudden it's Memorial Weekend and you've got plans to go. So be conscious of, you know, it sounds real easy. And you'll write it down. Oh, yeah, oh, I'm good. Then you find out it's some, you know, New Year's Eve at midnight or sunset wedding. Will you do a sunset wedding? Well, when is the sunset? Sunrise wedding? Do you want to do a sunrise? So the date is important. The time is critical. And you need to get this information from them. And I'll tell you this, what I've learned, too, about what you do. I get a tentative booking. They call me, you want to do it, when are you going to do it, where are you going to do it, and et cetera. I need your name, address, phone number, so I can contact you. Let me tell you, they'll call you and book a wedding 3 days before the wedding. You never heard of them. You haven't been paid. You call them. Did my mother not call you and tell you we're not using you, we're using Judge King? Well, then more power to you. You picked the right guy. But seriously, I get a tentative booking. And then I tell them, I need your name, address, phone number, time, date, and place. Send my fee. I get it paid. I like to meet with them, but a lot of times you won't see them till the day of the ceremony. Okay? You won't see. The first wedding I did, you may kiss the bride. She was about 11 months pregnant. He bent down and kissed her on the stomach. I drove up to one. It was a motorcycle wedding. I mean a motorcycle wedding. There were Harleys everywhere. And here I come in and walk in, and I've never seen so many tattoos and piercings in my life, including on the bride. Where are we doing the wedding? Oh, right there, Judge, at the bar. Okay, and there's a jumping jack right there. I mean, you're going to, I think I talk about that. Place is real important as to what, you know, we already talked a little bit about that. Here's the civil ceremony versus religious. Yeah, Judge. Yeah, I'm telling you, people can be real inconsiderate, and I tell them, until I'm paid, it's not booked. Until I'm paid, it's not booked, and it offends them. If it does, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, do you have a question? No, in Texas, all in the state of Texas now. When I talked about why I'm doing this, it's because our statute was in 85, said we could do them. El Paso judges could do them in El Paso. But no, you can do it statewide. You can go, I've done them in Austin, I've done them, where else have I done them? Pretty much a lot of different places around. Civil ceremony versus religious. Again, though, they may want you to read, we want to do our own vows. I don't like that too much, but do they want me to read them? Are they going to read them, you know? But if they want to do them, let them do them. And I'm telling you, some of the most beautiful vows I've heard have been theirs. I mean, they grab a hold of each other and start talking about what's in their heart. It's moving, okay? By the same token, I've had them go like, oh, my God, what? Like that one said, you know, you might need to go back to school, work on this a little. This one here was ceremonies with a twist. You're going to get people requesting the unity candle. Y'all familiar with the unity candle type ceremony? You know, they both light the candle and you're supposed to say something nice about how they've joined their lives together. There are different ones, though. In El Paso, with a large Hispanic population and Catholic population, they have ropes and coins, and they put a lasso over each other that binds them together, and the coins talk about that the husband will provide them financial security, that type of thing. Most of which, as you can tell, I'm not that familiar. But if they want to do something different and I don't know about it, I say, tell me what it is. Tell me what you want me to say. So I let them help me with that. And boy, some of them, they want the whole deal. We want the candle. And you're not the wedding planner. And boy, they'll make you the wedding planner, okay? So don't be the wedding planner. You're the judge. Well, what do we do about the flowers? And what do we, you can help them, I guess. You know, what I tell them, what's really important, when it's over, have a plan of exit, the recessional, you know. It's amazing. You pronounce them, and they stand there, and like after they've kissed, and they don't know what to do, and no one else knows what to do, you know, kind of help them with that. But, you know, don't become the wedding planner. You're not getting paid enough to be the wedding planner. And talking about doing it in your courtroom, some want to come to my office. I have a private office as a practitioner. And you want to be real sure. If they show up at your courtroom with a cake and the band and a nice chest full of Bud and about 40 people, because let me tell you, they don't want to use your facility as a reception hall. They don't know, you know. You say, well, yeah, you can use my courtroom. I try to make sure who's coming. Delays and distractions. I think I'm running out of time. Anybody know? Close, Mark. Where am I? Okay, good. Let me know. Okay, that'd be great. I appreciate y'all responding, because let me tell you, you're going to get a call, and you're going to want to do weddings. They're fun, and they're not hard to do. The time. I want to get back to time. You tell them, yes, sir, Judge. Well, see, what I would say, that's a, and I understand that, Judge, but let me tell you, they want to renew their vows. I don't think that requires a license. So I would have done it, and I've done them. I'm not marrying them, but I renew their vows, and I think that's appropriate. But I understand that would have been, I'm glad you brought that up, Judge, because that might be a different thing. I want to get back to time. They'll call you. I want to know what time your wedding is. So, 6 o'clock. Oh, okay, I'll be there. I walk in at 6 o'clock, and they're bringing in the cake, and they're moving in the chairs. And that's when they told everybody to be there, and nobody's there on time, ever. I don't think I've done but one wedding that's on time. The mother-in-law's mad. The limousine driver can't find. They forgot the rings. They have to go get the bouquet. It is incredible. So, when are time your guests coming? 6. I'll be there 6:30. That's very inconsiderate to you as a judge. I've had to stand there for an hour, hour and a half, waiting for these people to get it together. And by the time you do the wedding, you're so mad at them, you can't be very sincere. You know, they're extremely... So what I try to do is give myself some leeway. 6 o'clock, 6:30. Yes, ma'am. It can be tomorrow. Or this afternoon. I do, yeah. The question was, how far out do you book them? But, you know, most of them are spontaneous. And I've done weddings where I really wonder if these people ever met each other. By the way, Judge Mignosa's question was a 50th wedding anniversary type ceremony. He felt that they didn't have a license and that he didn't need to do it. I always see that as a renewal of vows and that you can do it. I have ceremonially married people who are already married that just they've got married in Las Vegas and they want to come home and do a wedding here in front of their family and no one knows the difference that they're really already married. I think that's just a ceremonial type activity. I may be wrong on that. Yes, sir. Yeah, you want to take track. The JPs have to report it. And I don't know what your reporting requirements are, Judge. What are those? Yeah. No, you want to give them a receipt. Now, the money, some judges are cutting part of the fee with the city to make the city more palatable. One judge is paying the city $25 out of his fee, as I understand it. I don't think that's required, but your city might say that. If you're going to use our facilities, we want to get paid. You know, or we don't want you to get paid and not us. Yes, sir.
I've only done a couple of them, but I'm making a list of little details to go over at the beginning. Kind of like what you said, you pronounce a man and wife and they can stand there.
Right.
The other one was left and I did. She was about 4 months pregnant. She was pregnant 5 months ago. And rather than sit there and wrestle with it for 30 minutes, just get it part way on
and go. Well, that's a great one, Judge, because that's part of these delays and distractions, man, and I always say, and I normally say, they always have trouble with a ring. I mean, you'd think they hadn't fit it on, or maybe she's now pregnant or whatever it was. They can't get the ring on. Or they put it on the wrong finger. It's all, and you're sitting there trying to, you take this man to be a waffle wedded wife, and they're starting to giggle and laugh, and the people are laughing. And I said, you know, they always have trouble with a ring. They seldom have trouble with a kissing. They've been working on it, kissing. If they're even close to each other. Well, let me tell you, haven't you, Judge? You have one standing there and one standing there, and you almost want to introduce them. Now, let me introduce you to your bride here today. Yes, sir. Oh, on the Unity candle or something? Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, things happen. Kids are running. The one I had was a cell phone, lady. I've had lots of them, but the cell phone rings, and that's distracting, as we know. Mine went off here yesterday. But let me tell you, it rings, and I thought, well, she's going to turn it off. Hello? Yeah, I'm here at a wedding. I don't know, some judge is doing it. He's not doing a very good job. I mean, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, and I'm trying to remember. I do mine from memory, really. But a lot of people can read them, and my memory's failing. Well, you need to check the license when you get it. Make sure that it's a valid license. If you do another great question, and that is if the license within the 3-day waiver is expired, if you do a wedding that's a license is expired, that's also an offense. I think it's a $200 to $500 fine if you do it. Again, an ethics violation, and you're not doing your judicial duty. So, well, once they get it, it's good for the life of the license. The outside portion of the license is, you know, from the time they issue it to 30 days, within that 30-day window. Yeah. Well, you want to make sure your license is not expired. And then you want to... You cannot. A municipal judge cannot give the 3-day waiver. You've got to get that from some other judge. Delays and distractions. God, that's a great one, Judge. But thank God you didn't get hurt. There's all kind of things that can happen. You have trains going by, kids. Sometimes the people are very distracting. Some women are crying, and then some are giggling. It can be distracting. Do you want to go to the rehearsal? Well, we're going to have they're nice to invite you. If it's a friend, I say go. You know them, and there's people you know. God, you don't know anybody there. You're wasting time. All right. In conclusion, well, let me see what I say about in conclusion. A new opportunity. Be seen in a different role in your communities. Have fun and remember to ask yourself, am I with the mount of the lions of the conduct code? Let me tell you how I end this. I end this the way I begin every wedding. And that is, if you don't remember anything else I've said today, the greatest lesson you can learn is to love and be loved in return. Thank you very much. Well, thanks, Judge. Thanks for the intro. That helped a great deal to get us started on the right path. $150 out of office and $75 in office.